Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sunday Roast. Sunday the 12th of February. I'm Phil Carroll.
And I'm Kevin Hornsby.
Let's have a look at the week that was. It's been a hectic one, to say the least. From political views to military moves, from natural disasters to consumer reports, we've got it all covered. To start off, President Zelensky made his first visit to the UK since the start of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. This sparked discussions and speculations about the future of the region and what it means for both nations. Then Rishi Sunak announced that nothing was off the table as the UK considers sending Typhoon jets to aid the ongoing war. This move could change the dynamics of the conflict, but only time will tell what the outcome will be. In other news, French cars, you'll like this one, Kev. French cars dominated the top spots in a recent report on the most unreliable vehicles, three out of the top five failures being from the French. Can you guess which one topped the charts, Kev?
The Mégane.
Yeah, it was the Renault. The Renault. I bet you're glad you got out of yours, aren't you, after Trigger's broom?
Absolutely, too. 17-year-old is the sheer beautiful car.
Yeah.
Still in existence, but just not my ownership anymore.
37% failure rate on MOTs of the Renaults, and Porsche were the lowest at 9.9%. So there's one for you if you're into those stats. Obviously, our thoughts and condolences go out to Turkey and Syria, who were hit by a massive earthquake, causing tens of thousands of deaths and leaving the countries in a state of mourning. But terrible that was, wasn't it? Some absolutely painful scenes coming out of Turkey and Syria, wasn't there, this week, with children being pulled out of the rubble. And you just can't imagine. I think based on the fact that it hit at a time when most people were in bed in the early hours, nothing you can do about it, is it? It was like a deck of cards, wasn't it? A lot of these houses going down. And can you imagine people losing 15 members of the family in this? It's just devastating.
Yeah, it's just unimaginable, to be honest. It's
Roast will be making a small donation to the obviously to the Decked Appeal for the Disasters Committee and everything. And I know obviously the UK have sent a lot of their support over there, and you know, relief aid and things like that. So, but moving on to the FTSE 100, this is one, and we can talk a little bit about Indaba in a minute. But the FTSE 100 hitting another record high on Thursday. I mean, how good was that? The soothing words from the Bank of England governor lifting the mood, while equities in New York joined in on the action with Walt Disney, a star performer. So what do you make of the FTSE moves?
Yeah, it's good. It looks like it's not all going to be as bad as everybody expected. I mean, I think there was news out on Friday or maybe even Thursday, I can't remember which day it was, that there was 0% growth between in the last quarter of the year. So narrowly missed a recession again in a quarter. So if the first quarter of this year is either zero or positive, then again, we won't be in a recession, or there won't have been a recession, just virtually no growth. So
yeah,
I think it's probably a lot better than everybody was thinking. So let's hope that continues. And
I think some of it is a bit skewed because the majority of the companies on the FTSE make most of their money overseas, you know, either through exports or through the earnings of foreign subsidiaries. So it's a little bit skewed in that respect. But I think what it's saying is, other markets are saying, is that the world economy is actually going to be all right, as you just alluded to there.
Yeah, I think there's still going to be a lot of pain, but it's maybe not going to be as painful for as long as people had initiated, yeah. Or had thought, or not initiated. Sure. And then this week we've been in Cape Town, glorious Cape Town. So I'm actually still in Cape Town. Phil has returned back to the UK, but we were in the mining Indaba. I think Indaba means, what does Indaba mean? I think it means to come together. It's like a gathering place in one of the African languages.
Yes, it means a discussion or conference.
So yeah, it's quite an event here in Cape Town. I mean, basically the whole city is overrun by however many thousand miners from all over the world, obviously many Africans, but there's a lot of Chinese here, Shokora. And many of the companies that we represent were here as well, and we had meetings with them. We had a little reception ourselves on the Monday, which was nice. We had ordered food, I think, for the whole of the Indaba, not just the people who came. But the food was very good, and we had a few drinks. And yeah, it's been encouraging to see what's going on. And the mining sector is booming. you know, absolutely booming. And that is obvious from people's impression, people's willingness to find and do deals, because all the bigger players have been looking for copper deals. We've been speaking to the CEOs and they've been bunged with people wanting to speak to them about what deals they've got going and what's happening and stuff. So I can see there's going to be a lot of movement in the mining sector in the next 12 to 24 months.
Yeah,
and it's also made me realize that I want to come back down to Indaba next year. Only next year I'm going to stay longer because it's beautiful. Yeah. And the weather is wonderful in Cape Town at this time of the year. So,
okay. I mean, there's one thing that I took home from it. We went to one of the drinks receptions. It was a Shard Capital organized in conjunction with Alchemy Capital and Pensana. And obviously, Paul Atherley was there and he gave a good speech about the situation with Alchemy and with Pensana. And obviously, you heard it. And basically, during that speech, he referenced the Recharge Industries, the Australian firm owned by Scale Facilitation Partners. And they've agreed to buy British Vault, effectively ailing or business that went into administration, and they're taking the assets and the business. The failed startup, as I said, went into administration last month after running out of money. Grable Capital, I think it was, in a consortium head by ousted founder Oral Najari. So Recharge Industries came along. They're a battery technology firm and they emerged as the winner. And the link there is that there was an RNS, wasn't there, in the week that's basically said that the offtake partner for Alchemy is no other than Recharge Industries. So that was the tie-in with that news there. Well, what did you make of that? Do you think that one's, think that all the ducks are lining up now?
I think the ducks are lining up for Alchemy. The issue is going to be the cash, as usual, in most of these deals. If they seal the deal, as in they get the cash to start the process, then, it's going to moon, I think. But if that's going to happen, because I mean Paul's talking also about Pensana and they need to the cash to do the deal. When's it going to happen? I hope Alchemy doesn't get hung up in that same situation, but we'll find out. I mean, he's keen to come on and have an interview with us, as he said when we met him. I think he's just waiting for a few things to drop more in Pensana than in Alchemy. But yeah, it'll be interesting to push him on when, rather than if, because I do think they'll get it over the line because it's just so critical.
Yeah,
but
sure.
When will the financing happen,
Yeah, exactly. And now isn't a good time to, I'm not saying now is not a good time to finance, but it's not easy, is it, garnering hundreds of millions of pounds, which is obviously required for probably both of these projects to get them ready. Yeah. So, but the other bit of news, which sort of stirred up quite a lot of emotions and speculation on Twitter, was about related to Newcrest Mining. And obviously, initially, Barrick Gold, they were ruled out as a counterbid because the number one was the first bidder was Newmont, who were bidding for Newcrest. But an alternative for Newcrest would be lifting its value through a sale of assets. And that statement then obviously pulled people onto the subject of Greatland Gold, who obviously have the joint venture or part ownership of the Havieron deposit there. So what are your thoughts on that? Because obviously there was a bid on Monday. Newmont made a $16.9 billion bid for Newcrest. Newcrest could then sell its something like 32% stake in Canada's Lundin Gold and the Lihir mine in Papua New Guinea. What are your thoughts on how that might affect the Havieron?
Don't know. I watched Dap Sean during the week after it had happened, and he came back to me. I said, do you want to talk about it? As in, do you want to do an interview? And he was saying, just let me consider it. So
yeah,
we might hear something.
Funny enough, is the article I'm reading here from Reuters said Greatland Gold declined to comment. So sounds like we got the same feedback.
His last comment, and I don't think you'll mind me saying this, was, I will come back to you, but it sure is interesting. Okay, so
I love it.
I don't know.
That's typical.
I mean, I don't think there's much he can really say though. That, and I suppose,
and to
that's
be honest, he doesn't really know, does he? In reality, I mean, it's interesting.
He doesn't know. How's it going to affect him? Well, he's still going to be 30% owner of Havieron. It's not going to make any difference who owns it. They're not going to stop wanting to try and produce however many million ounces of gold. It's, it's one of the reasons why whoever's going to buy them is going to buy them because of what potential is there. So yeah, I don't think it can be, I don't think it can be a particular negative to Greatland anyway, that's for sure. So, but moving on to that, we're also in the Indaba. I met up
I'm gonna say, who did you meet? Did you meet anyone else this week?
Well, I met this guy who's got a lot of coal, about a billion tons of the stuff, and in a very nice hotel looking at Table Mountain. And I think his name's Carl.
Carl, do you know him? Carl Espray. We're not Carl from Contango. You're welcome.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So just this week, we saw the update of the Lubu project, site preparation and assembly of the wash plant. Do you want to give us a bit more of a lowdown on that? Obviously, there was information in there regarding the wash plant site being prepared in anticipation of delivery, and construction and assembly is expected to take approximately 3 to 4 weeks.
Thanks for that question, Phil. The last RNS was quite clear that we'd had issues getting some of the equipment over the border, and we finally solved those issues. So the wash plant is now on site, and the rest of the equipment has crossed the border and is making its way up to site and should be on site in the next few days. The wash plant's probably 50% assembled already.
Okay, yeah. And in that RNS, Carl, you'd stated that, you know, the wash plant should be up in 3 to 4 weeks. And from that assumption, then production would start through the wash plant probably first week of March, by the looks of things, maybe a few days earlier, but let's say the first few weeks of March. So that's pretty epic event for Contango, really.
Yeah, so if you look at it, the wash plant's half constructed at the moment, so it will be constructed in the next few weeks. The pit has been, the larger pit has been pushed down. We probably, our overburden has been cleared to about, we're about 3 meters away from the coal. The coal is 12 meters below surface. We'll clear another 2 meters of that away in the coming weeks, leaving the last meter for the Vertgen servant miner to take away. Then what happens is you start the wash plant and you start feeding it coal. You do your commissioning, and that's testing to make sure that the grids, the sieve sizes are correct, that the washing is working correctly. That'll take another few weeks as well. And then we start ramping up, but that's effectively sticking coal through and washing it. And so you are getting product there, and then we'll start ramping up production from them.
Okay. So from the point of view of that 20,000 tons per month, which you hope to go through this plant, 10,000 is in an offtake agreement with A to Z. So tell us a little bit about them. You know, they know this coal is going to probably be coming in April, May time.
Yeah, H2Z is a coal trader based in South Africa. They're not quite like the Glencore size, but they are all ex-ArcelorMittal guys from the ArcelorMittal coke business, so they know the industry very well. So the first 10,000 tons goes to them, as we said. And then obviously we have lots of discussions with people, with other people to take the rest of the tonnage. I'm not really worried at all about selling the coal. You know, all ends on deck now is to get the mine up and running. But once we have coal, if you look at even just within the Zimbabwe market, the demand for coal at the moment is sky high.
Yeah, last night the high-vol B in the US hit $300. So has there been any potential there for the MSCC or price to have actually increased slightly since that announcement that was made when you said you had a $70 to $80 margin on the coal?
No, there's not been much. There's been no movement in their price.
Okay.
But that is always a delay. It's always a long delay before the price gets reflected in the local market. But the rate of change, I mean, the direction of movement will certainly be upwards if the international market is much higher.
Yeah, I mean, we can see that the market's moving. So it's just how quickly they catch up. Obviously, $120 per ton at the minute, but that's likely to change. So where do you see Contango then in 6 months' time? You know, obviously, assuming all this happens and we're producing 20,000 tons a month, what are you going to be using that cash flow for?
20,000 tons is the limitation of the wash plant, not the surface miner and not the resource. As you know, the resource is over 2 billion tons. The first thing we can do is build new wash plants, and each wash plant can be dedicated to producing a certain kind of coal. So one could be for industrial coal, industrial thermal coal, which has a market. One could be for coking coal that we turn into coke. And there could be another wash plant just for coking coal that we sell, for example. And then, of course, there's a big, we've always spoken about coke. We've already built a trial coke battery on site. We've made some coke already from our coal. We've sent that coke to potential customers, but it's looking very good, our coke that we produced. But again, this is a trial. This is a very small trial coking operation. And we've always said that we want to eventually install our own coke battery. We've actually done all the civils works to clear the land to install a coke battery. So we'll look at one of two things, either organically building it ourselves, which will take time, because we'll have to obviously get the cash flows from the company. We partner with someone who would build it, and then we'd have to have a negotiation around how we share the economics. Or we kind of start really small and we do something similar to the technology we're using in our trial coke operations, something like 6,000 tons a year. Yeah, we use that organic cash flow to expand that.
Okay, but in December there was an RNS basically about you having negotiations or a memorandum of understanding with a multinational company. I presume this is around this coking situation. So has that progressed any?
That has progressed. But now there's one customer we're talking to, not just about supply of coking coal, because they would take all of our coking coal, which is why I'm not worried about, as I said, the incremental 10,000 tons, but also something longer term and more strategic around a coke operation in country. They've been on site many times. Everyone's now waiting for the mine to complete. Because once the mine's complete, we can actually get a source of coking coal. Your high volume, our credibility increases, and I think we can progress conversations a bit further then. But also, they aren't the only people that are interested in coke. Coke's a big industry, and it's an industry where supply is short at the moment. So guys like us that can offer a long-term strategic solution are interesting. We've had lots of discussions over the years with people, but our main credibility gap was that we were talking about having a mine one day. Not we didn't have a mine. Now we're weeks away from the mine running, so the credibility with which we speak is much higher.
Yeah. So you see that the pace that things will happen at once this coal starts coming out the ground and gets washed is going to increase rapidly.
Yes. Yeah. Of course.
Okay. That's very good. We apologize for any sound here at this point because Carl is actually in Victoria Falls looking at the savannah. I'm in Cape Town in a hotel, so let's hope that the quality of the sound is good. And we just heard a helicopter. I didn't actually hear it, so that's okay. So I'm very excited about the mine. I'm not very excited about the share price. The share price seems to be stuck in a rut. You obviously fully cashed up now that you took the money to get this mine going and all the equipment and everything that you need. You're not going to need cash, I presume, for the foreseeable future, unless you actually choose to expand at a great rate. And that probably would be a good reason to have more cash. So, yeah, it's hard for you to comment on it, but it seems now that the share price has not priced in any of this. I mean, at $10 million just on the current operation, $10 million probably free cash flow, which you should have from this 20,000. In fact, probably more, in all honesty, from this free cash flow is not priced into this price at all. So have you got any comments on that?
Yeah, I think the share price is, we're a small cap mining company, so we kind of move incremental news flow to news flow. So things have drifted on the mine. So obviously so the share price reflects that. I think the larger story is we've got 2.6 billion tons. The mine will be up and running shortly. Once we have a mine running, we are no longer a greenfield operation. We're a brownfield operation, and that expands your strategic window hugely. You can speak to people that would not have taken you seriously when you were just a deposit. So, I'm very positive on the share price. I think it should be higher, but I kind of understand that things have drifted and that's been a problem. But now we'll start hitting milestones, and whether we install a coke battery in Q3 this year or Q3 next year, it doesn't really matter. We're going to be expanding this mine organically. We have more than enough coke and coal, all thermal coal, to last us generations. And so eventually the share price will reflect those fundamentals. And if it's not this week or not next month, that's okay. It'll come eventually.
Yeah. And people are going to want to see part or want to help with that resource, I'm sure, because it's a commodity that's going to be in great demand. So yeah, let's hope some things happen. So a few people have asked me about the gold projects in Mali. So can you give us an update just on what's happening there with the licenses and, the general progress of what you anticipate will happen? I'm assuming that the coal is obviously the most important, but let's just get an update and see what's happening.
I don't have an exact update this week, but as of maybe a few weeks ago, things were looking like they'd be resolved in the coming days. In terms of work on the ground, like I said, things are very slow at the moment. But we've kind of said that a few months ago that we aren't going to be spending hundreds of thousands of dollars drilling when we would divert that money to the cash producing asset in Zimbabwe. And then we could use some of that cash to fund the drilling at a later stage.
Yeah. So there's still an opportunity for the future, but really this company is all about the coal, and let's get the coal out the ground. And then if you are in a positive cash flow situation, then
you can probably make the most of those gold assets. I think that's probably what you're saying.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we look forward to speaking to you in the next couple of weeks or the next few weeks once we start getting that wash plant up and running and the coal being picked.
Yeah, we'll get to I'll put some photos up on the website in the coming days when I get back into the UK. Just stuff from site. And then obviously as we start commissioning the wash plant, the Wirtgen machine starts working, I'll get those photos up so everyone can see the process. It's really quite an easy process. You mine it, you crush it, you stick it through a wash plant, and one product comes out the one side and one product comes out the other side. But we can have a nice little walkthrough on the website as to how that works.
Yeah, yeah. If you've got some videos and stuff as well, that would be very useful. So while you're in Zimbabwe, then what would be the Sunday roast in
Buffalo and Mapani ones?
And what's buffalo like?
Good, it's great meat. Next time you should come.
Very lean.
Yeah, very good.
If I'm invited, I will come to Zimbabwe and see mine.
Good. Well, we should come in the next few months.
Indeed.
Well, thanks very much for your time, Carl, and we look forward to having you back on soon and updating the market as things progress at site. Thanks very much for your time.
Enjoy your day, sure. Carl. We'll speak soon.
Great. Thanks, Kevin. You too. Speak soon.
Okay. God bless.
So other than that, it's always good to catch up with Carl, and it does look like things are progressing well there at Lubu. And just want to see those first revenues coming out, you know, getting the money in and, you know, the offtakes in place.
Yeah. Looks like it's going to be cash, cash, cash and more cash, doesn't it, really, to be honest? We have been saying this for a while. So I think people are a bit frustrated of how long it's taken. But, you know, as we said, mining is mining. You know, it doesn't just happen overnight. Not that easy, as I think he explained. It's not that easy to get stuff in and out of Zimbabwe, you know, like the wash plant and all the rest of it. It isn't that easy. I wouldn't say very difficult, but it's not.
I think
not
when
easy.
You've been there like we have, and you've been to Zambia and play, and I know they're not completely the same geologically or geographically, certainly not geographically, but in terms of ground and roads and infrastructure, they are pretty similar, aren't they, in reality terms? So once you've been there, you see it's not easy getting moving equipment and machinery around, is it? Takes yeah. days and days and days and weeks and logistics, and things happen very slowly out there.
Yeah, and still everybody has a back pocket, you know. So when you bring something through customs, I mean, I can't argue that it's any different in Egypt. They want bribes, whether we like it or not. I mean, we don't think that way in the West, but things don't get released unless you grease the palms, as they say. So, yeah. So what's been happening this week?
Yeah, this week, I mean, we've had some very interesting movers. We've had about, just looking on SharePaddy, we've had about two or three stocks that have moved 100%, 90%, 65%. The first one, the top riser this week was Seven, or the way it finished the week, was Seven Digital Group. Now, I don't know if you know much about Seven Dig, but they reached an agreement early in the week with SongTrader for an all-cash takeover of Seven Dig for 0.6965 pence, or call it 0.75 pence, just to be to be more accurate. The agreed price was 114% premium on the 0.325 close on the previous day, so it was at a significant premium from the 7th of February. And they recommended, the board of Seven Dig are obviously recommending that shareholders vote in favour of the deal, as you would expect. But this, if you look at the performance of Seven Dig over the last, they're about 20 years they've been listed, they've gone from the sort of high teens, I think even higher than that. So in reality, if you'd held them all that way, you'd be balking at the fact that they're going to be bought out for 0.7p.
I think I held them 2 years ago. Yeah.
Current market cap is 18.4p. Not exactly sure what the all-time high is.
18.4 million, you mean?
Yeah, sorry, 18.4 million with a share price of 0.675. I'm not sure what the all-time high is, but I know it's significantly higher than that in terms of market cap. So,
But really, one of our stocks has bagged. One of our 12 stocks of 2023 has bagged on the 10th of February. Well, that's a result.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is Chill Brands gone from 2p, finished on Friday at 4p, actually hit a high of 4.5p, and somebody bought a whackload, 2.2 million shares at 4.5p. So, yeah, the world has started to realize, I think, something crazy like 40 million shares were traded in 3 days. Now, what does that tell you? Because that's not punters just trading. That is shorters deciding this is not going to work now. This is not going to go bust. They're starting to realize there's a plan in place. costs are being cut. Things are starting to work out. We're interviewing Callum Somerton next week. And I see nothing but encouraging stuff coming forward. You know, chill.com is going to become a platform for relaxation of all sorts, I think. And the products are coming. You know, the vape's about to come, I think, very shortly. He's going to give us more details on that next week, I think. And, you know, you've still got the range of CBD. But I wrote in the group, actually, that Chill Brands is no longer a CBD company. It is a distribution company of products that give you relaxation. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And worldwide. And the obviously focusing initially in the US, but these things are going to come to the UK and Europe over time. And, you know, the vape, non-nicotine, it's just a flavored vape. And I think many, many people are going to want this. They're not going to be addicted. They don't want to be addicted to the nicotine. They just want the flavor of the vape and something physical in them, in their mouths to taste. So I see big, big things ahead for this. And yeah, already bagged, but really considering it's gone from what, 108p down to 2p, you know, we're celebrating that it's gone from 2 to 4p now. You know, it's not exactly killed it. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, it's literally just the first baby step. I think the opportunity to go up, you know, several more 2 pences is most definitely there in the not too distant future, as they've sorted so many of the problems out. And now they've got a clean run at it to see what revenues and can be produced in the various things. So, yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Good. And the other one that moved extremely well, wasn't it, on Monday, Tuesday, and obviously the back end of last week was Conroy Gold, who obviously commenced a drill campaign to further assess the Clay Lake Gold Project in the Longford Down Massif region of Ireland. This campaign will step out from previous encounters of gold mineralization at Clay Lake with grades up to 5 meters at 3 grams per ton of gold. The gold trend Conroy are targeting holds obviously the Clontibret gold deposit with an estimated JORC resource of 517,000 ounces of gold. And the drill campaign will consist of 8 holes, totaling the 2,000 meters. So what are your thoughts? Drop back a little bit, hasn't it? There was some pressures buying over the first few sessions, but certainly in the last couple of sessions of this week, the foot was taken off the gas.
Yeah, just less buying, I think. Finished around 18p, I think.
What about Ben's Creek? I mean, Ben's Creek's had a good, as I say, it's had a good week. Obviously, you could say it was good news that the MBU have been trimming down. I think they trimmed down about 5.92% stake for 18p, but it seemed to recover back into the early 20s, 20p, 21. I mean, what are your thoughts on that and how the market's reacted to that news?
I think it's a good thing for Ben's Creek.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I think
you've got now more stable institutional investors who have taken that on. You know, there's some big names, I think, in there. I'm not sure whether they were mentioned who's actually bought in. But I think in the long run, that will be a good thing, I think. I mean, I was having this conversation with someone else, and I don't know who it was, but this time last year, Ben's Creek was around, I think, 40 to 50p. Okay, because it had just gone up. I don't know the exact figure, but let's assume it was 40p. So it was more than twice what it is today. It had no railroad sorted, though it was nearly complete. It had no wash plant that was completed. It was nearly complete. It had no production. It had no mining licenses to extend it. It didn't have the extra land that it subsequently bought. And now it's producing, and in January it produced 54,000 tons. The second high wall miner will come in the next few weeks, or it's there, but will start producing in the next few weeks. They have the mining licenses. They're mining underground now, and they weren't then. They have a new machines on site to move everything, and it's all now primarily owned by the mine.
Yeah.
They have the railroad, which is working. They're trucking also coal as well. The coal price is probably similar to what it was this time last year, because then it spiked after this. And the share price is half the price it was a year ago. So go figure. I don't get it.
We talked about this over dinner one night with Adam, didn't we? And we were just going, what else can happen? And I don't know what it needs to take. Obviously, hopefully the second high wall miner actually in operation, second shift, you know, two shift for both, the thicker seam, the quality of the coal, hopefully all he's done is, you know, that you look at the numbers of trains that went out and the numbers, that it is impressive, the amount of coal that they're shipping.
And as Adam said, I'm sort of divulging something that he said to me, was that the seams of coal that the first high wall miner is mining is significantly better than the previous one before they changed. So he thinks the possibility of X number of tons from that is much higher because there's not as much waste in what they're mining. So, yeah. You know, the actual clean coal could be 60, 65% or more of stuff that's coming out as coal. So, yeah, that's a sneak peek into what could be happening. That, you know, there's the potential there that, you know, we talked about 80,000 tons of clean coal could be significantly more with the second high wall miner on track as well. So a million could be very feasible if that is the case. They wouldn't have to actually mine any more. It's just coming out as a better take on it.
Sure. Sounds good. Yeah. No. So looking forward to that one and seeing how it performs.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, there was the news of IOG, wasn't there? The oiler that they unfortunately dropped 40% on the week, so that wasn't great on news again of poor results. It has bounced back, to be fair, somewhat from that news. But it was a Southwark update, wasn't it? Basically, they talked about the flow tested on a sustained basis, and
I didn't really follow suspended, that, to be honest.
Basically, suspended the A2 well and evaluate the feasibility. A cycle production alternative longer term remediation strategies. So a bit of a disappointment. Hopefully that one recovers better.
I know. Well, I've been a broken record about E-Star Resources, but results have got to come shortly. I mean, basically, I think gold results, I think also the rare earth results should be very shortly as well. And then there's going to be drilling on the copper. That's had actually quite a run, though it's down this week a bit because it hit 5p, I think, at the start of the week. It's settled now at 4.5. But it was in the low threes there, so it's had a good couple of weeks. So, yeah, we'll see what results come out in terms of that. But I can see a buoyancy in some of these small-cap miners and small-caps in general. You know, if there is... you know, good news, then I think they're starting to react, which is very good. So let's hope that continues for everybody's sake. And yeah, that's it, really. You know, we've had a good time in Indaba, speaking to people, meeting people. And it's a great experience down here. So
the other one that had a really good run of the last week, just steady burn, slow burn, was Prospects Energy. They hit an all-time high, or 52-week high at 19.25, testing the 20s or the high teens on the 8th of February. So that was a couple of days ago now, or middle of last week. They've done exceptionally well. And obviously, as they gear up towards first gas at Selva, so that's one of my exciting ones for this first quarter or the early part of Q2. And
I think we had 35p on that, didn't we? So I think if that was the case, you could still easy double your money on that, on the fact that the gas is coming. You know, the gas is proven; it's not exploration; it's a case of starting delivery on it. So yeah, it should be very. Very interesting.
Good.
And I suppose I'll finish with one last one, which we met the mining guy down there from Technology Minerals in Daba.
Oh, Lester. He was a good, Lester. He's an entertaining gentleman, isn't he? Good man.
We had some seriously good crack with him at our do. You know, that is just ridiculous, the price of Technology Minerals right now. Yeah. 1.12p. It's crazy. It really is crazy. So if you want something really that could recover easily to 4 or 5p, I think it's absolutely, as you know, I don't use bizarre, but it is bizarre, the share price.
The other bizarre one that we obviously had Colin on, and we saw Colin at the same drinks evening, was the news of from Lewin Sobey and the Jork 2012.
That's right.
I mean, how that has not moved on, what that is a fundamental game changing news for the whole of, you know, that northern, you know, for Lewin Sobey in particular, the copper project in Zambia, is just mind blowing how that has not moved on that. I thought the results were excellent. I thought it was a really, really good RNS, and the market.
Yeah.
Not even reacted in the slightest.
You know, Galileo's going to have $20-30 million a year this time next year, and maybe before that. And its market cap is 12 or 13 million with potentially 7 or 8 million cash. It's absolutely bizarre. Though, actually, I had lunch with Louis from Kibu today, Louis Kurtzi, is it? And he was telling me something about Kibu, because Kibu is also on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Okay. The Johannesburg Stock Exchange price for Kibu is 0.2 of a pence. What is it in London?
Currently in London, it's around Kibo is 0.115, mid-price 0.115.
So there's a, like, what, 50%
yeah.
or more, right? 80% difference in the share price on in Johannesburg and the totally transferable shares to here. So how do you work that out?
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, Kibu is vastly undervalued for what it has, but of this, in my view, there is no doubt. But that was really a shocker for me. It was like, oh, how'd you work that one out? So you can actually buy them on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange and transfer them onto the UK Stock Exchange. So bizarre. There you go. That's something else you can maybe consider if you wish.
So basically, they're fungible across the two markets. So because a lot of the times, if they're not, then obviously, in reality, you can't value them. But if they are clearly fungible stocks, then I guess the value should match of the company. That's how it works, you know? So, yeah, interesting. Okay, on that note, well, I think we've put the world to rights there. And I'm glad you're having a good time over there still. And, yeah, I'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah. Swimming pool, and I think I'm off to the V&A tomorrow to have lunch with Colin Bird, and then I fly home.
Good.
Yeah, all good.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.